We're jumping right into today's episode, but before we do, I want to let you know that today's episode is sponsored by Tell Public Relations. That's T-E-L-L Public Relations. If you have been watching for a while now, you've seen how the Friend Forward brand has grown, and I'm so grateful that God has expanded this platform. It has happened through things like speaking engagements, national TV appearances, podcast interviews, brand deals, book deals, all the things, and I'm so grateful. If you are doing something in your business, you know that you're doing good work, but you're frustrated because you feel like you're not getting enough visibility for the work that you're doing, and you'd kind of like to follow some of the Friend Forward blueprint of how we've expanded our visibility, I highly encourage you to visit them at tellpublicrelations.com to learn how you can get more of the shine that you deserve without paying crazy prices for a publicist and without busting your budget to pay for ads. That's tellpublicrelations.com. But today, in this specific episode, we're talking about what to do when you discover that you're not your bestie's bestie. You know, the first time that I even learned that this was a thing was in the seventh grade. And I'm surprised actually that I remember this because my memory of my childhood is so shoddy, but I'll never forget being in my language arts class, my English class in the seventh grade. And we were doing presentations of some sort. And I remember I was sitting in the seat as one of the students went up to present. And at some point in her presentation, she said something about like, you know, and this is for my best friend, Kendall, pointing to another girl in the class. And another girl shouted, "You're not her best friend." And my teacher was like, "Hey, hold on. That's okay. Somebody can be your best friend and you're not their best friend. And that's okay." And I remember sitting there like, "What? What is she talking about? I didn't know that was even possible." And the research actually supports those of us who feel alarmed by that, because the research finds that women greatly value mutual prioritization. So that means that if you see somebody as like your number one girl, you kind of expect that you're her number girl too, her number one girl too. Now, we might not say that for fear of sounding petty or childish or whatever it is, but on the other end of that, you know how good it feels when you discover you guys are each other's number ones. And I'm just kind of using these numbers and this ranking system just arbitrarily here. Okay. But when you feel the same way about each other, right? And you rank each other, prioritize each other the same. But what happens when you discover that this isn't the case? Now, even though in today's episode, we're specifically talking about what to do when you discover you are not your bestie's bestie, the same information can apply if you're in a friend group and you notice that perhaps they're a little bit closer to one another than they are to you. Because we recently received a DM about this specifically on Instagram at Friend Forward. Somebody sent me an essay style DM, which you guys do. And I love it because I get my popcorn. I settle in and I read every word. Okay. And she was asking essentially, you know, what do I do when I realize that they're closer than they are to me? So it doesn't matter your dynamic. I think the information you're about to get in today's episode will apply. So let's talk about it. I want you to ask yourself three questions to help you navigate any disappointment or frustration you might be feeling when you recognize that you might not be prioritized by your friend the way that you prioritize her in terms of like your ranking, okay? You're not her number one. Here are three questions you can ask yourself. Let's start with question number one. I want you to ask yourself, am I not feeling prioritized, or am I not feeling prioritized as her number one? These are different things. Because if your friend is prioritizing you, then she's showing you that she values you. You're going to feel like you matter to her, and you're going to see that she's intentional about you. So this might come in the form of her inviting you out to things. You know, so, you know, she says, "Hey, I'm going to tell my boyfriend to go with his friends on Friday because I want to see you. Let's go to this exhibit on Friday," right? That's intentionality about spending time with you. Or she might remember details that you shared about your father being sick last week. She's asking, "Oh, how is he doing?" So she prioritizes you in her mind, remembering details of your life developments, right? She might show you she's prioritizing you because she sees something in Target that she thinks you'll find funny and snaps a picture and sends it to you. Those things show you're a priority to her. You're top of mind. But if the larger issue you're having is that you're not prioritized as her number one, that might mean that you're getting some of the things that I just listed. She's attentive. She initiates hanging out with you. You guys have a good time. But it doesn't matter to you as much knowing that you're not being prioritized in the same way other people are. So I don't think it makes us petty. I think, you know, mutual prioritization is definitely something that women tend to seek in their same-sex friendships. But if you find that you're unable to be close in a friendship unless you're each other's besties, that's where I kind of get concerned, because I don't want you to miss out on healthy, supportive friendships because of this particular need. Now, yes, it is very nice to be a shared mutual number one. But if you begin to realize that things aren't shaping up that way, then maybe answering this first question can offer a little clarity, right? Do you find that you are satisfied with your friendship until you put your head on the swivel and you see what she's doing with others and you become discontent? But ask yourself, if I'm getting attention, if we're having a good time when we're together, and she, I like how I feel about myself when we're together, she's supportive, can I find a way to be content with that? But we'll get to that in number three. All right. Question number two, how does feeling mutually prioritized impact the way that you engage? So if you find yourself not being her number one, and you realize, gosh, it seems like she's closer to so-and-so, or she's getting closer to so-and-so, what does that moment influence you to do? Do you find that you respond by sending one-word answers in text, like being a little bit short? Do you find that you've become a little more passive-aggressive? Or alternatively, do you find that you've become a little clingier? I'm trying to find a nicer way to say it. Have you really leaned in because of your anxiousness over the issue? You're really leaning in, calling her more, leaning in because you desire that attention and reassurance. Do you find yourself pulling away? For those of y'all who are more avoidant in your attachment, okay? Are you leaning away? Like, well, gosh, I guess if I'm not close to her, then like, what's the point? I'm not going to initiate anymore. Bah, 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 bah. So it's a two-part question, because I want you to become aware of how you respond once you realize she might be closer to other folks. And then part two of that question is, and how does that impact the friendship overall? So for example, if I realize she's getting closer to other people and I tell myself, well, I guess I'm not as important, I guess I don't matter as much, so I withdraw, does she start to withdraw because she's like, oh, Danielle's too busy for me, or I guess Danielle's upset, right? Like, what? How does this manifest itself or present itself, that lack of certainty, that maybe even resentment that's growing, that fear? How does that present itself? How does it impact the friendship overall? Is it cyclical in some kind of way? Okay, something to think about. And before we get to question number three, I want to encourage you, because at the time of this recording, you have 6 weeks left to pre-order your copy of Fighting for Our Friendships and to claim the bonuses that go with them. I've created audio courses, downloadables, and an exclusive workshop for people who pre-order the book. And I feel bad if I'm being honest, because I already know this is taking back to high school teacher days when you tell the students there's a deadline coming and they don't believe you, right? And then the deadline comes and people are asking for extensions. Okay. So you guys know I ride for you. But I'm telling you, as soon as that book is live on May 7th, if you're trying to claim your bonuses and you buy the book on like May 7th or 8th, unfortunately, our team can't honor it. Okay. So please help yourself out. Go to betterfemalefriendships.com, order the book, put in your order confirmation number, depending on where you get it, Target, Amazon.com, whatever, bookshop.org, whatever. That way we can start hooking you up with bonuses. Okay. All right. So while you do that, let's go on to question number three. If you discover that you're not your bestie's bestie, or if you discover that in a friend group, the group members might be closer to each other than they are to you, I want you to ask yourself this question to manage those emotions. And that is, can I find a way to be content with the value that I'm getting from this relationship? Now, I'm going to keep it real. I know that on the surface of that question, it might sound like I'm asking you to settle, right? Whenever somebody's like, how can you just be happy with what you're getting? But really ask yourself, is she attentive? Do we laugh together? Do we have positive shared experiences? Is she supportive? Is it a good time? Do I learn things from her? If overall you could say, I enjoy what I have with her in this relationship that we formed, add some kind of value to my life. The question I'm going to pose to you in a tough love way is, can you find a way to almost put blinders on, which typically have a negative connotation, but almost put blinders on it and focus on her, just see her. Because if you find that when you guys are just in a vault, that private vault, just one-to-one, you are content. You are satisfied. It's not until you see her post about hanging out with another friend. It's not until she mentions a girl's trip that she took, you know, with two other girlies. It's not until she mentions a private joke that she's developed with a coworker she's growing closer to by the day. Right. I know we've all been there where she's like, oh, yeah, Tiffany and I are getting coffee. And you're like, oh, that's so great for you. Yeah. And on the inside, you're like, oh, God, that Tiffany. OK. Do you find that you enjoy your girl, but it's not until you recognize the closeness she's forming with others that you become discontent with the friendship overall? Now, in my book, Fighting for Our Friendship, I write about this a little bit because for a lot of us, we don't even really know that we might not be mutually prioritizing each other, meaning like each other's number ones, until things like selecting a bridal party comes up. Oh, my goodness gracious. I can even tell you, I mean, you'd be surprised truly how many one-on-one private coaching sessions I've had. And when I was offering one-on-one sessions, we have a form you fill out and ask you why you're coming here. And when I read through and somebody's saying, well, it's time to pick my bridal party, or, well, my friend picked her bridal party and she didn't make me maid of honor, or she didn't select me at all. And I'm really struggling with that. I cannot stress this enough. That does not make you petty. That is totally valid. But for a lot of us, we've been operating under the assumption that we're on the same wavelength. And it's when there are these moments where you have to publicly display your social hierarchy that we are rudely confronted with where we, quote unquote, actually rank, which that's a whole other episode. And we grow discouraged. There's that cognitive dissonance. Hold on a second. What do you mean I'm not in the bridal party? I'm like your main girl. We talk to each other all the time. Right? And it can be really, really jarring. Anyway, that's a whole other episode. Should we do an episode on bridal parties? I think we should. Oh my gosh. I think we should. Okay. So here's what I want you to do, right? If you zoom out, you find that you're happy with the friendship, but it's not until you start comparing that you grow discontent. Here's what I want you to do, okay? As your new official friendship coach, here is your homework. Listen closely. I want you to do two things. The first is something just conceptual. The second is tangible. The first thing I want you to do is to remember that friendships are dynamic. The definition of dynamic means to be characterized by constant change, constant activity, constant progress. Your friendship will constantly fluctuate. You might feel close today, but the next year things change and vice versa. Sometimes you'll be your number one. Sometimes that feeling might change. There are women who see you as their number one and you don't reciprocate it. We haven't really reflected on that. It's going to change. It will always be moving, always. I want to just settle there because some of us know that intellectually, but when it actually happens, it's hard to deal with. So the friendship's constantly going to change. That's what friendships do, and it's normal, okay? But the second thing I want you to pause to do is a little more tactical, more actionable. I'd like you to look at other friendships and connections that you have that you could be investing in, but that you haven't as a result of pouring into this one central friendship. Now, I know some of you might have been doing that, right? Like you might have a very balanced friendship landscape, a very varied friendship landscape, and still feel the sting of not being your bestie's bestie. All I'm saying is, I know for some of us, because women's friendships are so dyadic and they get so intimate, sometimes we put all our eggs in one basket. I mean, I hate using that metaphor with something like this, but, and then we start to pull away from other ties that we have. So can you just use this as a moment to kind of alert you? Hold on a second. Let me look around. Who are people who have been pursuing me? Who are other women who I enjoy, but I haven't given them the attention and priority that I'd like to? Can you just find a way to prioritize other friendships, other connections, and community in the meantime, is all I'm saying. Okay. If this episode is especially resonating with you and you're going through it right now, you know, I'd love to hear about it. Come and hit us up on Instagram at friendford. You know, I love a good voice note. Or you can visit us 24/7 at betterfemalefriendships.com. Until then, you know that I'll be right here rooting for you always on your ongoing journey toward better female friendships. Until next time.